It's dark. The night is thick and imposing, carrying a heavy dread that is hard to describe. The streets almost feel as though they are undulating beneath my feet, unwilling to stay in place long enough for me to place one foot in front of the other safely. The safe walls of the studio are behind me, too far to return to. Ahead of me, I see glimmering lights dancing and weaving with the heaving of the earth. Carried on the breeze, a light music filters through, calling me forward. I am calling from Elm Lake. This was supposed to be simple. I left the studio confident that there wouldn't be any problems with my return to join up with everyone. I knew the path, and so long as the Earth cooperated with me, I should have been back to the diner and Amelia and Lorraine within a relatively short amount of time. That was hours ago. Instead of cooperating, the streets of Elm Lake have been rebelling against me. Twists and turns that never existed before have been springing up in my path. Bare lawns are now choked with brambles, tangling weeds, and grasping flora sprung from some fevered imagination. I've gotten turned around more times than I would like to admit. And my sense of direction is so fractured, I'm not positive I could even return to my starting point. To make matters worse, I can feel piercing eyes following me wherever I go, disembodied giggling echoes from any opening, no matter how short-lived it is. My skin is clammy, my fingers numb. I feel a bitter cold. Despite unseasonable warmth billowing down from the sky above me. I try to orient myself by the moon or recognizable constellations, but the sky is a black canvas. The only lights that beckon me are tied to the strange lilting music. The path in that direction seems clearer than others. It would give me a reprieve, a chance to catch my breath and reorient myself. It's also clear that I'm being herded that direction. What was that? Sorry, I could have sworn I saw a dark shape dashing across my path ahead of me. More of the glittering eyes and chilling laugh. And a flash that almost reminds me of a knife blade catching the light in just the wrong way. All of which should be impossible. There's no one else here. The streets are empty. The earth doesn't heave and shake, streets don't appear and disappear without reason, and the existence of one source of light is clearly an indication that the safety it promises is a lie. There it is again. That scurrying form. No. Multiple scurrying forms. Short. Barely coming up to my knees from the looks of things, moving with jagged, uncoordinated movements as though their joints weren't made properly. I catch a fleeting glimpse of hair, more sinewy than anything else, carried on a localized breeze that I can only see, not feel. This can't be happening, I repeat to myself. This is a terrible dream. A nightmare brought on by isolation and an overactive imagination. I just need to pinch myself and I'll wake up safely in my own bed, or perhaps in front of the board inside the studio. My fingers are so numb, and they don't want to respond to my mental commands. I struggle, feet continuing to slowly move forward, hoping to draw closer to the owl's nest. In the back of my mind, I know exactly where I'm actually going. And that realization makes my blood run like ice through my veins. I see the small figure dashing across my vision again, joined this time by others. The eyes, unblinking, are all around me, and the faraway lights continue to draw me closer. I try to convince myself that none of this is real. That dolls don't move under their own power, that I'm not simply being compelled and directed to a place that suddenly feels like a trap without escape. The whispers tell me I'm wrong. Laughter tells me that everything is playing out the way that it should. In front of me, I suddenly see it looming, and I forget to breathe. They have directed me to the glass eye, and there's nowhere else left for me.
Everything has been going so well. We were able to provide almost every citizen in this quiet little town with our creations faster than we've been able to do with other communities. They have just been so open to letting us help them, to bring them to the truths they themselves were denying. I know that Sam has been delighted, talking about how we're finally going to be able to complete the plan. And her excitement has rubbed off on me. I honestly never thought we'd get here, but knowing that the finish line is in sight is fantastic. I thought for a moment that we had run into some complications. The first being that Anthony fella. It was so hard to figure out exactly how we could help him. And Sam was concerned that he would have to be left out. She didn't admit to anything like that, of course, but I could tell her temper was shorter and her natural smile was tighter. Most people wouldn't notice, but I've been with Sam for so long, I feel like I just know her instinctively. Even more exciting, we're going on a trip. Sam says that we've been doing such good work and that we deserve a little break for ourselves. Sounds like she wants to head back to Kingfield, at least briefly, to check up on what we were doing there. She seems eager to apply what we've learned in Elm Lake to our previous work, to see if we can improve it. Never stop learning, Riss. That's what Sam always tells me, and I've taken that to heart. Learning and applying that learning. It's how we kept getting closer, and now here in Elm Lake, we're right on the precipice of achieving our goals. I can hardly believe it. Well, Sam's goals, I mean. I'm excited about it all too, but Sam's the mastermind. She's the one who's put all this into motion. I'm just playing my part. I've been able to add little pieces here and there to make things work better. And I know that it took both of us for those successes. But it was all her. Which is another reason why it's so exciting to take this little vacation away. We've earned it. Sam's earned it. And I'm gonna make sure that our time away from Elm Lake is just as successful as our time here.
Riz keeps scurrying around the shop. She's been singing to herself a silly little song about how we've brought dreams to life. I love seeing her like this, truly happy in the moment. It took a lot of work to get here, and I really thought it was all going to come crashing down. I know that Riz has been worried about Anthony, but she almost forgot entirely about the girl with the basket. The curious one who kept poking her nose in our shop trying to find answers to questions she didn't even know how to ask. Coming up with the concept of repairing the doll was a stroke of genius. I'll definitely admit to that. I don't know if I would have been as quick on my feet as Riz was, but that's why we're such a good team. I'm the planner. She can improvise. We provide needs for each other, covering gaps that we both have on our own. This is important work, and we aren't the first to attempt it. But no one else has ever come as close as we had in our previous visits. And now, Elm Lake. We have success within our grasp. Everything we've been working towards is almost ours for the taking. I almost don't want to leave this sleepy little town. It isn't like we'll be gone for long, but I truly believe that we unlocked something here that we were missing in our previous attempts. North Glen is a lost cause, but Kingfield and Demeter? I really think we can go back and finish the work that was being done. Both were so much closer than we realized. It'll just take a little push to get them over the edge. With what we've been able to learn here, we can give them the proper guidance needed. In many ways, I should be thanking the Fowler woman. Her arrival helped solidify things, both for me and, I think, for Riz. The repair was completed with expert craftsmanship. She won't be an issue any further. That nice British man has helped out, even if he doesn't realize it. We're so close to success. If it wasn't for Riz, I'd stay here in Elm Lake to finish the job, but I know that she needs to see Kingfield cross the finish line, or at least to make the attempt. Her goals have always been important, and they've helped drive us to where we are now. If nothing else, we were able to take our minds off everything here for a short moment and come back refreshed. We deserve this. Riz deserves this. And I can't wait to see how we're able to apply everything that we've learned.
The flickering lights continue to draw me closer to the yawning door of the glass eye. No matter how many steps I've taken, the lights haven't gotten any closer, nor have they gotten any brighter. They've remained exactly the same, further convincing me that this is all a terrible dream. The door, though, has gotten closer. Larger, more imposing. For a moment, I imagine that the opening is ringed with sharp teeth, ready to rend and gnash and tear at any flesh that approaches it. But I cannot stop my feet as they continue to propel my body forward. The numbness in my limbs has spread further, threatening to attach itself to my core. My heart is racing. I can only force myself to draw sporadic, ragged breaths. Mere steps away from the open doorway, I glance behind me, hoping to see something that will shake me from this dream. My eyes scan the area back and forth, and I despair. In every dark corner, there are glimmering eyes. On the air, there are discordant giggles, covering every surface. A doll is sitting and waiting, moving slightly, but definitely moving. My feet get tangled with each other, and I feel myself tripping, falling, collapsing into the open chasm that represents the front door of the glass eye. I don't even feel myself stop, and I worry at first that my senses have betrayed me, with blindness and deafness joining the numbness from earlier. Then I hear a whispered voice speaking words I cannot comprehend. The sound of a closing door. And waiting for me, darkness. Calling from Elm Lake, episode 44, Captured, was written and produced by Sean Monahan. The voice of Elm Lake is Sean Monahan. The voice of Marissa Stevens is Scarlett Gray. The voice of Samantha Brower is Malia Hansen. Opening and closing themes written and performed by Sean Monahan. All other music written and performed by Matt McInnes. Find out more at machinismusic.com. Thank you for listening to our ongoing tale. If you've enjoyed our story so far, please leave a rating and review. Word of mouth will help us continue to grow and unfold new tales within our universe. You can also join us at www.patreon.com/callingfromelmlake to help support us as independent artists carving out our own space in this creative world. Dreams help to drive us forward. They can give us goals to accomplish, wishes yet to be fulfilled, or a glimpse into a world where our wants and needs are met. They can also show us things to avoid, or tap into the darkest parts of our subconscious, filling us with a dread that we can only hope to escape by returning to the waking world. We separate dreams into categories in order to help classify these flights of fancy and moments outside of reality. But in truth, are dreams any less real than the waking world? Are they always just lurking at the edges, waiting to delight or terrify us in those moments when we slip into their reality?